morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. On behalf of our congregation and parish, I would like to welcome all those who are worshiping with us this morning for the first time or doing so after a long while. After the service, we are all invited to our church hall for teas and coffees. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 29, the verses 1 to 4. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters, the God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. Let us worship God and our first hymn, Immortal, Invisible God, Only Wise, 132. Let us pray. Almighty Father, as we approach your throne of grace, we recall the words of your Son Jesus, who looking toward heaven prayed for his glorification that he might glorify you. He acknowledged the authority you bestowed upon him to grant eternal life, knowing you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Lord, we confess our failures and sins, acknowledging that often we fall short of the glory that you have revealed through your Son. We have not always finished the work you have given us, nor have we fully known or shown your truth as Jesus did for his disciples. Forgive us, Father, for the times we have not accepted your word, so trusted in your perfect will. We ask now for your forgiveness and grace to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Renew in us a steadfast spirit and grant us the eternal life that comes from truly knowing you. May we, like Jesus, complete the tasks you assign us and glorify you through our lives. Glorify us with your presence, not for our sake, but so that we may reflect your light to others. As we strive to obey your word, help us to live lives that are testament to the truth of your gospel, knowing that everything we have is a gift from you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, 131, Salvation Belongs to Our God. Good morning, boys and girls. How are you this morning? Are you all well? You are good. You are all looking very good. Have you had a nice week? Nice weekend? Yes? What have you been doing?
Our granny was here today.
Your granny was here
yesterday.
And yesterday. Beautiful. Granny was with you for a sleepover. So nice. What have you been doing today?
Not much.
Gilead, what have you been doing this weekend?
I had my show.
You had your show. Now, we will begin with a few questions. What do you think it means to glorify someone? That's a big word, glorify. Isn't it? What does it mean to make someone proud? come back from school and mom or dad says, you make me really proud. What does that mean? It means you've been good in making someone feel good about themselves. What an answer. That is to make somebody proud. So mom says, you've made somebody happy, so I'm proud of you. That's a good answer. Any other answer? So what do you need to do to make someone proud? Let me make it a bit simpler. Yes. Help in tidying up the house. I hope you do that. Do you? Do you tidy up your room? Do you? Okay, that's good. So help in tidying up the house. What can you do to make someone proud? Help in tidying up the house. Yes. I know you've got gifts because you did something good. Can you remember those things that you did and then you got a gift from dad or from mom or from granny? Yes? What did you say? So you can help to tidy the house. You can do well in school. When you do well in school, you do your homework. You get up on time to go to school. Daddy or mom says, well done. You go to bed in good time. You do chores in the house. Every good thing you do, we parents are very impressed about that. You behave properly. You are polite. The way you speak to people, to your friends in school, we are proud of that. So to make somebody proud is to be able to do the things that are good, and most especially the things that we've been asked to do. Now, in John chapter 17, Jesus made a certain prayer. He was praying to God, and he was telling God that he had done all the things God had asked him to do. And he was like saying, God, are you proud of me? You asked me to do something. I have done it. Are you proud of me? And it's the same question we are asking to you all the time. You are meant to be going to school, to work hard, to do your homework, to respect or obey your teachers and obey us, your parents. And when you do that, just like God was proud of Jesus Christ, his son, we will be proud of you. So it is your duty to be good children, to do what is right and what is pleasing in the sight of your parents and also in the sight of God. And then, as Jesus said, God, glorify me. I have glorified you. You glorify me. We will always be so proud of you. So, let us learn to be good, to do what is right, so that we will continue to be proud of you. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the lessons you continue to teach us from the pages of Scripture. And we thank you for Jesus Christ, who is our model. As we learn from him, we desire to walk with you. And we desire, O Father, to be good children, so that you would be proud of us. We thank you for our children as they come here week in, week out. They learn from your word. As young as they are, you open their minds, O Father, to the deep truths of the gospel. May they treasure them, and may they continue, O Father, to grow in their faith. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next hymn is, This is the Day That the Lord Has Made. It's 194.
Tonight's reading is taken from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 6. God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. And the second reading is John 17, verses 1 to 8. Jesus looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. Amen, and thanks to God for this reading of his holy word. The next hymn is number 196, Come Now Is the Time to Worship.
Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, you have revealed yourself to us through the pages of Scripture, and you continue to do so. As we reflect this morning from your word, we pray that you would open our hearts to be receptive to the gospel message for its transformational effects. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let us think this morning on the theme, Living for God's Glory, the Path of Submission and Unity. The Cost of Discipleship is a book that was written by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German theologian and martyr. He wrote extensively on the nature of obedience to God's will, especially in contexts of extreme political and social turmoil. His concept of cheap grace versus costly grace underscores the sacrifices involved in true Christian discipleship, which includes obedience to God even when it conflicts with government authority. Bonhoeffer's exploration of Christian discipleship emphasizes the stark contrast between what he calls cheap grace, an easy acceptance of forgiveness without corresponding commitment, and costly grace, which necessitates a profound sacrificial following of Christ's path. This commitment to discipleship involves a deep, sometimes perilous obedience to God's will, echoing the trials faced by Christians under hostile regimes. Bonhoeffer argues that true discipleship is never without cost, much as it was for Christ, whose mission led him inevitably to the cross. In John 17, 1 to 8, Jesus embodies this ultimate obedience in prayer. And the prayer commences with Jesus acknowledging the culmination of his mission. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. And this introduction sets the stage for a reflection on his journey and achievements. Jesus Christ, our Lord, speaks about the essence of his mission as bringing eternal life to humanity through a relational understanding of God, emphasizing that his authority was exercised in complete harmony with the will of God. The relationship between Bonhoeffer's concept of cheap, costly grace and Jesus' prayer in John 17 is rooted in the shared principle of divine obedience. For both, the execution of God's will is not a mere adherence to commands, but a sacrificial act that glorifies God. Bonhoeffer's perspective that true grace involves significant personal sacrifice resonates with Jesus' preparation for his own sacrifice, where he aligns his actions entirely with God's plan, glorifying him through complete submission. This act of glorifying God through obedience, even to the point of death, illustrates the depth of costly grace, the kind that Bonhoeffer advocates for, a grace that demands and honors the totality of one's devotion to God's sovereign will. The prayer of Jesus Christ does not merely highlight his divine resume. Rather, he is assessing his earthly mission, underscoring the perfect completion of the tasks God entrusted to him. In this prayer, Jesus Christ states that God gave him authority over all humanity. This authority was given not for domination, but that through him we might gain eternal life, knowing the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. This is the quintessence of eternal life, a profound relational knowledge of the divine. Jesus confidently reports that he has glorified God on earth, having finished the work that you gave me to do. My dear friends, this declaration is not just a self-assessment, but a testament to a life lived in complete alignment with God's will. How does this resonate with us today? Friends, think about the work God has given you to do. It might be in healthcare, education that you've been called to teach, business, social services, or another field. These vocations are not merely jobs. They are divine appointments to bring joy to others and to glorify Almighty God. Like Jesus Christ, we are called to periodic self-reflection to evaluate whether we remain true to our God-given missions. In the subsequent part of his prayer, Jesus shifts his focus to his disciples, those immediate followers given to him by the Father. He expresses confidence that they have kept God's word. They understand that his teaching and all he embodied came directly from the Father. And this part of the prayer is not just a ministry update. It is an affirmation of his disciples' faithfulness. They have understood the truth of Jesus' origin and mission. They believe in the message of salvation. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as ministers of the gospel and believers, this message challenges us to consider how the gospel resonates within our communities. Are the spiritual truths we share taking root in the hearts and lives of the people? Are we, like Jesus, able to report positively on the spiritual state of those entrusted to us? Jesus' prayer in John 17 invites us to glorify God through our complete submission to his will, to assess our faithfulness in the missions he has given us, and to foster unity within our church community and other communities. Let us move forward with a renewed commitment to these principles, ensuring that our lives reflect the glory of God just as Jesus' life did. And may God continue to bless our witness in the world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your Son who has shown us what it means to glorify you and to live in your truth. Help us to follow in the footsteps of Christ, submitting our lives to your will and embodying the truth of your word in every action, word, and thought. May our lives reflect your glory, and may we move ever closer to the life eternal you have called us to live. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next hymn is number 198. Let us build a house where love can dwell.
Thank you.
Let us dedicate the offering and let us intercede for ourselves and for the world. Heavenly Father, we come again to you with hearts of gratitude and hands lifted in offering. As we dedicate these gifts to your service, we remember the perfect example of giving set by your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, bless our offerings, that they may be used to further your kingdom, spread your gospel, and bring relief to those in need. Multiply these contributions as only you can, and guide the stewards of these resources to use them wisely. May our giving be a reflection of our love for you and our desire to serve you with our whole hearts. Help us to not only give from our abundance, but also to offer our time, our talents, and our whole selves to the work of your church. May this act of giving be a true testament to our faith and our commitment to follow you. Dear Father, we lift up the Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland into your hands, praying that it may be a sign of your love and truth in the community. Strengthen our witness, empower our ministry, and infuse our congregation with your Holy Spirit, that we may live out the gospel in every aspect of our lives. We pray for each member of our church. Watch over our welfare, provide for our needs, comfort us in times of distress, and fill us with your peace and joy. May our faith be a testament to your sustaining grace. Dear God, we extend our prayers to the broader world, beseeching you to intervene in the problems of war, poverty, economic crisis, and instability. Bring your peace where there is conflict, your provision where there is need, and your stability where there is disorder. We thank you for the United Kingdom, and we pray for all its leaders. We ask for wisdom and guidance. May those in authority govern with justice and integrity, seeking the common good and prioritizing the welfare of all citizens. Merciful God, our Father, extend your healing hand to those afflicted in body, mind, or spirit. Grant them recovery and solace, and provide comfort to the bereaved, offering them hope in the promise of eternal life with you. We thank you, Lord, for the peace that you bestow on earth and among all people. Your presence is a constant source of tranquility and assurance in our lives. As we face the new week ahead, we ask for your blessings to abound. May we encounter your favor and kindness in our endeavors, relationships, and spiritual growth. Help us to glorify you in all our actions and our interactions. We submit all these prayers to you in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you are able, please stand and let us affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. A final hymn is 512, To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done. peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.